Who is the God of the Bible? Who is the God of the Bible, and what is he like? The importance in believing the right God, the God of the Bible, can't be overstated. John 17:3 tells us, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Joseph Smith stated, "Every man has a natural, and in our country a constitutional right, to be a false prophet as well as a true prophet." King Follett Discourse, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 344. However, the Bible says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And it goes on to say, "And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death." Deuteronomy 13th chapter. I hope to conclusively demonstrate that Joseph Smith exercised his constitutional right and became a false prophet, promoting one of those other gods mentioned in Deuteronomy. We will be taking a sharp look at the God, or should I say the gods of Joseph Smith, and comparing them with the one true God of the Bible. Of course, when you talk about Joseph Smith's view of the Bible, we have to ask, which Joseph Smith? Joseph Smith A, B, or C? Joseph Smith A is the Joseph Smith of the Book of Mormon, the one that's mentioned in the title page of the 1830 Book of Mormon as being the author and proprietor. Joseph Smith, and also the Joseph Smith of the Articles of Faith, which were taken out in 1921. They're the doctrine part, you might say, of the Doctrine and Covenants. Joseph Smith B is a Joseph Smith of the latter sections of the Doctrine and Covenants and the King Follett Funeral Discourse, or Discourse, recorded in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith and the Journal of Discourses and so forth. Joseph Smith C is a shadowy figure who apparently promoted Adam being our God, and Brigham Young got that doctrine from Adam, which I hope to establish here tonight. And I know Joe Dewey believes that as being a reasonable proposition from our previous talks. It is my contention that Joseph Smith attempted to reach into heaven, so to speak, and to drag God down from his lofty perch, strip him of some of his eternal attributes, and make him into a big man. And so he did. And he, at the same time, raising man up to the level of a God in embryo. Or, excuse me, join the Future Gods of America Club. Or, to rewrite, excuse me, I hope we have a little room for sarcasm here, but not much. I hope that it doesn't offend Joe at all. Great, Joe. Okay. Or to rewrite Genesis 1:26, "And man said, Let us make God after our image, after our likeness." Let me at this time set forth the true God over and against the Joseph Smith God fraud. God is a spirit, John 4:24. Now, Joseph Smith didn't like that verse, and he rearranged it in the inspired version to write, "For unto such hath God promised his spirit, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Now, we go to Joseph Smith A in Alma 1828 in the Book of Mormon. "And Ammon said unto him again, Believest thou that this great spirit who is God created all things which are in heaven and in the earth?" Alma 22:10, "And Aaron said unto him, Yea, he is that great spirit." So we find in the Book of Mormon God being a great spirit. Well, this brings us to the point of Luke 24:39, because Jesus said, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have," which is foundational in Mormon theology. Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22, tells us that the God, the Father, has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also. However, the Holy Ghost doesn't, otherwise he couldn't dwell in us, in spite of the fact the Bible says that God, the Father, and Jesus can dwell in us. Now, lectures on faith. The fifth lecture of faith. I happen to have a copy of that here somewhere. Here we go. This is the copy of Joseph Smith Begins His Work, the 1830 Book of Commandments, 1833 Book of Commandments, 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, and lectures on faith. No wonder it was taken out in 1921. "They are the Father and the Son, the Father being a personage of spirit, glory, and power, possessing all perfection fullness. The Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, a personage of tabernacle, made or fashioned like unto man." Isn't that interesting? Moving on. How many personages are there in the Godhead? Two, the Father and the Son. What is the Father? He is a personage of glory and of power. And we can go into this in greater depth. What is the Son? First, he is a personage of tabernacle. I'm just quoting from different pages here in the lectures on faith. Moving right along. John 14:10, how can God the Father have a body of flesh and bones when Jesus said, believest not thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but the Father that dwelleth in me? If they both had bodies of flesh and bones as tangible as man, you'd have one body stuffed inside the skin of another body. That creates some problems. Matthew 16:17, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that interesting? God is also omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere at the same time. In Mormon theology, of course, this is impossible because God is locked into a body. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Oftentimes they say his power and influence can, but he himself cannot. It even mentions, Joseph Smith again, Joseph Smith A, it talks about the infinite God, Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 17 and verse 28. God claims, do not I fill heaven and earth? In Jeremiah 23:24, we don't see a big body up there, do we? But God says, do not I fill heaven and earth? Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. 2 Chronicles 6:18. Solomon's praying the great prayer of the dedication of Solomon's temple. God is omnipotent or all-powerful. Was the God of Joseph Smith all-powerful? No. Joseph said that God never had the power to create the spirit of man at all. In the King Follett Funeral Discourse, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 354. And I'll just abbreviate that and make it just, I'll just say teachings from now on. But let's get God's opinion on the matter. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, not the semi-mighty. Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Formeth the spirit of man within him, so God does have the power to form the spirit of man, and Joseph was wrong. He had the wrong God, a semi-mighty God, a God who cannot create something out of nothing, or something ex nihilo, by the way. And yet God has a radically different opinion, as you might expect. Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God does have the power to create something out of nothing. To say he doesn't is to limit his omnipotence, and God will not be limited. Joseph said that God did not create the heavens and the earth out of nothing. God merely organized matter that is as old as God is. Pages 350 and 351, teachings, the book Teachings. However, in Colossians 1:16 in the New Testament, we discover, for by him, that is Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, an atom is a thing. We are composed of atoms. An atom is a discrete particle of matter. And therefore, Jesus is before all things, so we don't have eternal matter in the Bible. And Joseph was wrong again. Romans 4:17 speaks of God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. The verb there is eimi in the Greek. It's a verb of existence. God calls the things which do not exist as if they did. And there was a time when they didn't exist. Joseph said, I have another subject to dwell upon. This is dealing, of course, with God is sovereign, or God does whatever he wants to. He has no equal. Let's get Joseph Smith's opinion on that, however. Joseph said, I have another subject to dwell upon, which is calculated to exalt man. Now, you hear you get the flavor of Joseph Smith lifting man up. The level of a God in embryo. The immortal spirit, where did it come from? All learned men and doctors of divinity say that God created it in the beginning, but it is not so. The very idea lessens man in my estimation. He goes on to say, the mind of the intelligence which man possesses is co-equal with God himself. Isn't that interesting? There never was a time when there were not spirits, for they are co-equal with our Father in heaven. Teachings, pages 352 and 353. God, of course, has a different opinion. Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their host. The earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. They bow the knee to God, or they get booted out, not the reverse. Okay? God is omniscient, or excuse me, let me back up and touch one base at one more scripture, 2 Chronicles 2:5. For great is our God above all gods. What are these gods being referring to? I know Joe mentioned gods during the course of his discussion. Let's look at Psalms 96, 4 and 5 and see if these are true gods that God was mentioning. The Lord is terrible over all the gods because all the gods of the Gentiles are devils, or my New American Standard says idols. But the Lord hath made the heavens. God is omniscient or all-knowing. Do you believe that, Joe?
What?
I've got 10 minutes left. Sorry, Joe, you ran out of time. I think we may have agreed that God was all-knowing, but I won't hold you to that. Anyway, the Bible says that God is all-knowing. Psalms 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and great of great power. His understanding is infinite, without bounds. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And even Joseph Smith, Moses 1:6, in the pearl of great price, there is no God beside me, and all things are present with me, for I know them all. And there are various Book of Mormon verses that bring that out as well, at least one at any rate. Do you believe that God is all-knowing? If you do, take heed to this verse, Isaiah 44:8, quoting the King James Bible. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isn't that interesting? The all-knowing God doesn't know of any other true gods out there. You know why? Because there are none. There are none. Praise the Lord. Okay. Only one God, moving right along. But Joseph, of course, had a different opinion. In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people it. Teachings, page 349. Here then is eternal life, to know the only wise and true God. I don't see how I can say this and reconcile the other things he said. And you've got to learn how to become gods yourselves and to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you. Teachings, page 346. Did Joseph know more than God knew? Who do you want to believe, God or Joseph? About nine times, Isaiah, the 45th chapter, God indicates there's no other God, there's no one else besides him in so many words. Let me turn briefly to Mark, the 12th chapter. If you have your Bibles here tonight, you may want to do the same. My goodness, this is a miracle. I turn right to Mark 11. I guess God wants me to speed up. Verse 28. Am I going fast enough for you? And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our Elohim, Jehovah is one. In Mormon theology, Jesus equals Jehovah, a separate God altogether from the Father who is Elohim, two separate distinct gods. But this says, Jehovah our Elohim. There's other verses that could be brought to bear on that as well. Jumping on down to verse 32. Here we go. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, that is intelligently in my New American Standard, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Conversely, if you don't know there's only one God, thou art far from the kingdom of God. Now, if that isn't convincing enough, you might want to look up in your spare time Deuteronomy 4, 35, 39, 32, 39, 1 Samuel 2, 2, 2 Samuel 7, 22, 22, 32, 1 Kings 8, 60, Psalms 18, 61, Isaiah 43, 10, 11, 40, 44, 6, 45, 5, 6, 14, 18, 21, 22, 46, 9, Jeremiah 10, 10, Mark 12, 32, Galatians 3, 20, Ephesians 4, 6, 1 Timothy 2, 5, and James 2, 19. There is no string of gods in reverse perspective, by the way. In other words, the God of this earth was once a man who became a God who was once was created by a God who was once a man. All the way we go, all the way backwards. Of course, we can end up with God number one, who created him, and what, how did he ever become a man? This is food for thought. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There's not some head God back there in reverse perspective, some head Elohim. Joseph Smith talked about the head of the gods back there, because God could swear by no one greater than himself, the Bible says.